UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
The kid's going to grow 18 inches. Boy, save that.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We'll take you up until sex. save that.
And James Strebel.
Jason Strebel. And
on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
He had 16-6 in that game.
You're reading those stats to me, and my heart started to flutter and palpitate.
Oh, God, please.
I'm sorry.
Is it palpitate?
Palpitate.
Okay.
Started to palpitate a little bit when I was hearing those numbers against Duke and Virginia. Oh.
Was your heart palpitating or palpitating at 9:01 last night?
More like 9:31.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour, the power hour here on The Take. It's ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app, the TuneIn app, many ways to find the show. We'll have our podcast coming up. We'll have our podcast up directly after the show. Strebel has inserted himself in the Winston-Salem radio KSR stuff. He has inserted himself into that. Save that for the mixtape. We need to hear some of that sound at some point, Mitch. We still have a bunch of Lachlan McClain sound that I want to play, and we got you for the next hour in about 30 minutes. Rick Bozich will join us. WDRB, our weekly, I should say, catch up with him in the 5 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. You're still glowing right now.
Yes.
From you getting a sports radio guy to call you an idiot, which is the basis of sports radio.
No, I mean,
look at
great.
You.
I was very nervous. I was telling you off air before they actually accepted my call. I was getting a little nervous, a little queasy in the stomach because it's a lot of pressure, but I feel like I delivered. We'll see what the text line says.
You talking about Monday night, or are you talking about your call into Winston-Salem radio?
Call into Winston-Salem radio.
Jack Grossman, intern Crean, stabbed us in the back. Mm-hmm. Big Easy, he got to hang with us. We need to play that because Big Easy's texting me. There's many things. We got Winston-Salem. We got Greensboro.
Yes.
That was also a great sentence. If you don't know, Matt Jones has been fighting this guy from Wake Forest. Steve Forbes went on his show and took a swipe at Kentucky with the academics thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's been the battle back and forth, and we got Strebel to randomly call in at exactly the perfect time. As this guy was ranting against Matt Jones, and then you, James, arrive on the air and get called an idiot. We need to hear that sound, Mitch, at some point. We also have lock sound that we have to get to. Is there any part of the waiver process? I'm going to give you time to think about this while Mitch gets the ha-has ready, okay? Is there any part of the waiver process with Olivier Saar? Is there anything that we're missing? Because we talked a lot about it yesterday, and we talked the majority of the 3 o'clock hour about it, and we'll talk about it here just quickly and with Rick Bozich at 5:30. But, I mean, listen, sometimes you look at things. Jay Scrub father comments I used as an example. Steve Forbes saying what he said about Olivier Saar and UK, and then the next day, in not even 24 hours, he commits to Kentucky. It's because these guys are saying these things, and they know what the outcome is going to be. Jay
right.
Scrub and his father did, and Steve Forbes did when he did the interview there in Winston-Salem. And so I just wonder, when we look at so much of the overwhelming evidence of kids not being able to get the waiver from the NCAA simply because your coach left. Again, I don't need to hear the bullet points. It's like U of L in the NCAA. I know Louisville's argument. It's a good argument.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to win. Okay, you want to stop the bleeding with that, but I think it's a good argument.
Absolutely.
The argument for the NCAA, the pro-Kentucky argument to get the waiver so Olivier Sarr can play this coming season, it's a great argument. It makes total common sense, but there's a lot of there's a lot more evidence that it's not going to happen than it is. And so I think the Kentucky fan base is rather split on it. I think there's guarded optimism. I do think some people are talking too much like it's a done deal and he's
right.
going to be ready to play. Is there anything in your mind that we're missing as we talk about this discussion?
The only thing that we talked about this in the first hour is the fact that he's not transferring within the conference. And that it appears when Seth Greenberg was on with Bobby V today that Steve Forbes is going to back.
Do we have that sound, Mitch? Can you find that sound? Sorry, Mitch is for sound. He's looking for sound.
Yeah.
He's dealing with Winston-Salem Sports Radio. He's trying to compile all this sound. Patty Ice is talking about Joe Nemechek in his ear.
Yeah.
It's difficult to be one Mitchell Hannigan. The Seth Greenberg sound about the Steve Forbes.
Yeah. Give me one second.
All right, yeah. He was on today in the 2 o'clock hour, I believe Seth Greenberg was, and I guess he had him on his podcast. Steve Forbes is going to vouch for Kentucky, and that's going to be really good in the process.
That's
and
huge.
That's something that needs to happen. So here's Seth Greenberg earlier today with Bob Valvano.
Here's my take on that whole thing. I mean, yeah, he'd be perfect. I just did an interview with Steve Forbes for ACC Network 10 minutes ago. And Steve said he would support it. But the questionnaire they have you fill out, now you can't write like a letter saying you expect the kid to come back. They waited till the end of April to let Danny Manning go. They waited till the end of April and where Sarr could put his name in the NBA draft till they let Danny Manning go. The season was over in March. To me, it was egregious in a lot of ways that they didn't let Danny Manning go in March for a lot of reasons.
Right.
So now they waited to the point where it eliminated the kid's options.
Yeah, I mean, so if he's talked to him and that's going to be released on ESPN, we'll get that sound and obviously we'll play that whenever that happens because many people thought, well, you know, Steve Forbes isn't going to cooperate, which I always think when these things happen, it's like, hey, that's career suicide, but so many coaches do it, and it's like really good coaches.
Yeah.
Like Nick Saban will do it, having some sort of
– Dabo would do it.
Oh, Dabo would absolutely do it.
Yeah.
So let's bother Mitch again because I don't know what to do here because that's the Olivier Sarr conversation. Like, I don't know. One thing I would say is, and we talked about in the 3 o'clock hour, maybe it's just a gamble from Cal.
Yeah.
Maybe Frank Anselm or somebody else or a couple other guys and Keon Brooks' dad has been boastful about the roster. I don't know. What if it's just a gamble and it's like, hey, it doesn't hurt us to try to help Olivier Sarr. If it doesn't work, we go into the season with this team. Maybe somebody else is at it. And if not, he's on the team. Hell, that's great. It doesn't cost us anything. And I hate to say the cost, but it doesn't cost. Sounds like Rick Pitino. Not a dollar. We spent on Brian Bowen. But it does. Like that's just how I feel with it. So we've talked about Earl Thomas today. I mean, good God, we've been all over the place today. Mitch, have you cut up? What have you tried to cut up from what happened last segment?
Oh, I got
sports
it.
Radio victory from
the
one
entire
James
call.
Strebel.
The entire call.
Okay, so you have the call. Do we have anything leading up to the call, or do you want to just hear the call? Because I think leading up to the call was also funny.
Yes.
When we found out that they had Winston-Salem and they had Greensboro. And I'll put my guest list up against anybody's.
It was great.
It's a great guest list.
We just had Luke May on, Bruce Pearl. He's name dropping like crazy.
So, Mitch, what do we have?
I mean, I can start at any point of the lead up. I mean,
how long is the lead up? Do we play it right now? It's 5:11. Is that do we give you another Olivier Sarr?
Or more?
Is there
those allegations?
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
You're
I want to do funny stuff.
You still think he's going to be here, though?
I do. I do.
I have wavered on my confidence. I've wavered on my confidence of Olivier Sarr. The only thing I would say for the U of L audience is, and I don't think this is. I want to be clear. I say this. I bring this up as a discussion, as a jumping off point here on the take on ESPN 680, as a discussion, not as this is what I believe that there was a failure here. But last week before, whatever it was, I came on. I think it was a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
is when the Olivier Saar stuff with Kentucky was picking up. And I'm like, hey, you know, there's a lot to gain. Hang on, my dog's sneaking again. There she goes.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, when you were outside, I had to go pull her out of the cat
box. Oh, she's back up there again.
Mitch was vamping, which I'm sure was golden audio. I don't know what the hell he talked about. I don't know if he did the Papa John's read or what he did.
Oh,
I was talking about the – what? Go ahead.
That would have been a great idea. No, I was just talking about how I didn't believe in Strieble and that he was going to choke. But he proved me wrong.
No, he – yeah, absolutely. So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, I brought up, hey – there's something to gain here. Louisville still has a scholarship next season. Olivier Saar, Chris Mack, the Wake Forest connection. I mean, Malik Williams is a front court player. It's not like, I mean, Louisville has guys, but we don't know anything about any of them other than Malik Williams. And Malik Williams occasionally is often injured. And I just said, you know, what about Olivier Saar? That's not that's not my discussion that I want to have. Louisville obviously was never after Olivier Saar. I don't believe, or Saar, excuse me. I mean, it hasn't come out. It's been, what, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas,
I believe.
I mean, it's been those teams. I don't know. Now, if you said if you're a Louisville fan, why didn't he? Well, hell, he should. No, I mean, you should. Again, that's not the discussion. To further the discussion with Louisville is there's still something to gain. And a guy like Olivier Saar moves Louisville maybe back end of top 25 to a contender. And there's a scholarship there, and that is very valuable. And I don't know how to have the conversation because Louisville is much quieter the way they – it just seems like the rumor mill and the talk about graduate transfers is much quieter. I don't know if they have less leaks or whatever it is, but with Kentucky, any time a guy hits the transfer market, it's, well, what about Kentucky? I mean, we went through 5-6 guys this graduate transfer and transfer cycle. So there's still value there for Louisville to improve their roster, and Olivier Saar would have been that. Again, I obviously don't think there was any connection there. I wonder if there is anything left. Like I do, I wonder what is left, I should say. I know there's something, but Louisville adding somebody now needs to be more of the discussion, but I don't know how to discuss it because it's always very quiet. There's no big rumor mill like Kentucky has.
No, whenever, like when they got Carly Jones, I mean, it was just like, boom, they got him. There wasn't anything ramping up towards that. I mean, a guy like DeAndre Williams, the Evansville transfer, would be a – like, Louisville should maybe go out and reach out for that guy. I mean, they're kind of in a spot right now where Kentucky was, where they just need, like, one more body just to solidify it and just to give Chris Mack some breathing room.
But doesn't U of L?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
they
okay,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the rosters aren't that different.
There's
a bunch of there's – okay. Well, they are because Kentucky will rely on freshmen, but I mean that is – There's unproven guys all over the roster.
For both.
Right? And there's going to be guys that are going to be seen as clicking early on and be better and greater early on. And Kentucky has more of those. But Louisville fans sure feel like the Carly Jones and David Johnson are going to be that.
Yes.
And Malik Williams is going to be solid. And Kentucky fans, you know, obviously need Keon Brooks. And Louisville fans need Aiden Agahan and Samuel Williamson. They're not that different.
No, they're not.
Olivier Saar makes them different.
That's the one, like, separation, I guess, from them. It's Kentucky answered a question. Louisville still has
Kentucky multiple
questions.
Kentucky answered the question. That's because Louisville isn't seen as having the value this coming season as Kentucky. And what I would say is someone like Olivier Saar is absolutely somebody that raises the level of Louisville. In fact, Kentucky goes from preseason. I mean, do they move up 10 spots? Do you think they're 15th and now they go to 5? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Louisville moves up more. I think Louisville's 30 and moves up to 15.
Yeah, with Olivier Saar, I agree with that.
You
yes.
could make the argument picking up someone like him would have been bigger for U of L. Again, Aina Gahan might be fine, and Withers and Malik Williams is going to be good all season long. I'm with you on all those things, but it's not like they just have some fine team. They still have a need there. I just don't know how to talk about it because you never get any leaks.
No,
and we never assume with Louisville they're going to get fill in the blank with Kentucky, and that might be BBN. We just assume.
Yeah, and there's no player out there that has, like, a grad transfer that has Louisville in their top four, their final three or whatever. You see these grad transfers are starting to cut their lists, and Louisville's not on any of them. And that's not a knock on Louisville. I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying that Chris Mack isn't reaching out. It seems like he's not reaching out to anybody else with that one scholarship kind of left out in the wind, which is a little confusing to me. I mean,
all right, we're done with that.
Okay,
we're done.
Yes.
Do we BS sports enough
we
there? I feel
there.
Like we covered it. You
yes.
petered out. I wasn't listening. To
I was trying.
You. I know. I wasn't
carry on my.
No, it was bad. It was bad. You're
done.
Yeah. You're done for today.
Yes.
You're leaving at 5:30. That's how done you are.
No.
You're packing it away today.
No,
you're done.
I'm very excited to hear some of this lock sound and some rummage and Maben sound, and then.
And then your
call.
Sound.
Yeah.
All right. So Mitch, what do we have, and how long is it, boy?
Oh boy,
yeah. 5:17. It's about 3 minutes.
I mean, let's play it. I mean, we play it all here, right? Don't
yeah.
we? That's what we do in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, we're playing the entire thing. Let me get the. This is Josh Graham. Who I mean, listen, this guy's good. I like this guy. This is our guy. Okay, Sports Hub Triad. He has been in a battle. He is there in Winston-Salem. He has been battling KSR and
yes.
Matt Jones. Matty Bangs! And he is waging more, and I think it's finally getting to him. By the way, Luke Hancock follows him. And Bomani Jones. How about that?
Bomani Jones.
How about that?
Ooh. Ennis is like friends with him.
Ennis is like, well, you know, one time we had a beer and we talked about Wake Forest basketball at the Marriott at ACC Media Days.
I told him what we did. He wasn't about the shenanigans.
He didn't like it?
Of course he didn't. Ennis is going to narc on us too, isn't he?
Probably.
Of course he isn't. Come on, Ennis.
Come on, Mark.
Come on. That's my friend. Josh Graham is my friend. We gave him content.
Yes.
We gave Josh Graham content.
He liked that.
He got to call a Big Blue Nation member an idiot and run him off the phone lines. That guy's a hero back in Winston-Salem. Here's the lead up, and here's the call from Strebel earlier today on Sports Hub Triad in Winston-Salem. Sports Radio.
My show, it created the national headlines this week.
This guy's
not that show.
Mitch.
PTI, highly questionable, USA Today, etc. You played sound from my show yesterday. You played sound from my show this morning. You should be thanking me for all the content I've been giving you and your cronies. That's it.
Cronies.
Calling me irrelevant. I put our content and our market up against Kentucky any point, anywhere in Kentucky. You got UK. That's all you got. That's why you're a Homer radio station. I get it. And I am really struggling with this because I get a lot of people on Twitter. They care, but most of the audience doesn't. And they might not even know what's happening because 15% of people who listen to the radio have a Twitter account. So if I'm talking and being too self-indulgent, my apologies to those people. We'll move on quickly.
I have no faith.
But we've got the ACC Big Four to cover. I don't just cover Wake Forest. We had Luke May on the show last out. We cover Duke. We cover NC State.
I'm in tears.
I mean, we got pro sports teams. You guys have the Lexington Legends. That's fine.
Oh,
I like minor
God.
League baseball. But don't try to compare our markets and say it's the same thing. It just isn't. I'll put our guest up against the guest that you've had in the last month, what we've had in the last week.
Well, you have Jack
Matt
Harbaugh.
Rule, Roy Williams, Bruce Pearl, Lincoln Riley tomorrow, Luke May today. They don't do irrelevant. It's stupid to suggest otherwise. And on top of that, what's it say about your radio show if you're going to let an irrelevant sports talk host take over more than half your show? 2 hours, spending over an hour on it.
Round Daddy's going to get
ridiculous.
Crushed, Mitch.
336-777-1600, the number on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. We haven't gone to the phones all day. I think I will. Let's go to, what's this guy's name?
That's a good question. I should have wrote it down.
Oh, so it's definitely a Kentucky fan. Let's go to a Kentucky fan who wants to pick my brain on Olivier Saar. Now, do you want to yell at me, or do you want to actually learn about Olivier Saar? Because I can help you on that.
No, I'm not going to yell at you. Hi, Josh. My name is James, and my apologies for all the BBN people that are making fun of the way you look, because we shouldn't do appearance-based radio. I wouldn't do that to you.
I'm not doing it the other way.
Oh, no, of course, absolutely, and thank you for being relevant. But my question is, why are you so upset at Olivier Saar and what he did? What happened? Why the frustration and the angst? Because like Olivier Saar, you could also be brought up to the big leagues. I mean, you can come host a show here in Kentucky. I mean, he obviously jumped from Wake Forest, which is a nothing program, and Kentucky beat them 5 straight times and by a margin of error of wins of 30 points, and they've ended every time Kentucky meets Wake Forest in the tournament, Kentucky beats Wake Forest. So I know you want to be relevant, but when you cover irrelevant programs, it's hard to call yourself relevant.
Hey, let me ask you this. Hey, let me ask you this real quick, James. James, real quick. Last time Kentucky played North Carolina, what happened? What about the last time they played Duke?
No, this is Wake Forest.
I cover all of them, you idiot. Get out of here.
It is. There it is.
He wanted to turn the discussion to North Carolina.
What about when the last time Kentucky played North Carolina? How about
that? I just now noticed this. That was the first time he went to calls all day, and you were the first call.
Yeah!
Yeah, if you ever listen to radio, sometimes when you go to the phone lines, you're looking for a call, and there's one call there, and you take the call.
Yes.
And you act like there's other calls that are sitting there. Oh, let's go to the phone line, James.
Yeah.
If James didn't call in, he wasn't going to go to the phone lines. The phone lines were not packed. In fact, Big Easy just texted me. He goes, I just love that he acts like he's got the phone lines jam-packed. And then he goes, let's go to James. That's exactly it.
That's what happened.
Listen, that's the oldest trick in the radio book. Everybody does it.
Yes.
Everybody has done that in their career.
There's no busy signal.
That's fine.
I waited for the rings, and then I didn't think they were going to answer my
call.
By the way,
I'm backing this guy a little bit. He does have a good guest list. Lincoln Riley's going on his show.
That's a big guess.
Mitch,
yes.
What do you think as a radio producer? I'm shocked that that guy has that good of guest list. Now, most of the people are really boring. They're not giving you any news.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a philosophy on guests. It's got to be fun, or you know, coaches can be bad, but it's good.
Yes.
It's good to promote, right?
Absolutely.
Unless there, and a lot of times there's nothing that is newsworthy there, but it's still good to promote. The promotion's almost worth more than the 8 to 10 minutes that you get with old daggum Roy.
Yes,
that is a good guest list. Now, I don't believe it's better than Matt's, though. I mean, Matt's had heavy politicians, and I don't mean fat politicians. I mean politicians, right?
Yes, he's had politicians.
I mean, he's had coaches on. I mean, the people that fill in for him.
Yeah, Jack Harlow on.
Yeah, Jack Harlow on. There you go. No, I agree with that. He didn't have guests on often, from what I understand, but when he does, they're usually pretty good. They're usually pretty good. What? The text line, yeah.
No, I'm just laughing at you. You peered out again.
I did. I'm still kind of basking in the glory.
Text says, BBN Emily now follows him. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Matt has picked up on this as well. Not us, but someone by the name of Steve has reached out and made fun of Josh Graham's Twitter and comparing that to Matt. Matt says, I am willing to compare listener numbers too. Getting into sport. Now we're in. Now, Mitch, we are in sports radio. You had a debate about the academic profile of two schools.
Yes.
You had no one giving a damn about Wake Forest. These are all the things that make it sports radio.
Yes.
You have Kentucky engaging. You have a bunch of Kentucky people who sure as hell didn't go to the university and take philosophy.
No.
Okay?
No.
Are backing BBN. You have this guy who's awesome. This guy is awesome.
He is. He's good.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
We have now a fake call. We have someone being called an idiot.
Yes.
Right now we have ratings. Now we're bringing out the ratings.
Twitter follower numbers.
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is
now escalating. And I feel like we had a part of this escalating just a little bit. Now we just stand back. Now we don't do anything.
We just wait and see what happens. No responses. No, I'm not going to.
No, we just sit back. We don't say a damn thing.
I'm not going to contact him. I'm not going to get into this Twitter conversation. I'll just watch from even though I kind of want to, I'm not going to. I'm going to stop myself. And I promise tonight, if I have beer, won't reach out to him.
Don't reach out to him.
No, I won't.
You
even
better
respond.
Not reach
not
out to him.
To.
I don't know if I believe you.
I'm not. I promise.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I'm.
Stop it.
Me?
No, not you, Strebel. This is a one-night stand, Strebel. You're not in love.
I'm gone.
You don't need to make friends
on the internet
with this Graham guy and suck up to him.
No.
You don't need to get involved in any sort of way. You just need to sit back,
okay,
and just relax.
Just see what happens.
No, you don't need to do anything.
Okay.
You need to do absolutely nothing.
Move on.
You understand? We have done our job.
Okay.
We threw the grenade in, and now we back away.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm good with that. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm fine. You can trust me.
Okay. Texter says Strebel got in because nobody else ever calls. No, that's the point.
Yes.
That's the delight. That's the first thing I heard. When he went to the phones, I said, this is absolutely 100% Strebel.
Yes.
And he brought it up because he knew that you were a BBN guy. So he thought, now's the time that I can do the BBN segment.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call between his rant, the call, the rant. like 5 minutes. That's a great job.
It worked out perfectly for him. He got the call, said Kentucky. He realized it was probably going to be a troll job, so he wanted to get it all out off his chest and update the audience on what was about to happen.
Texas says, I disagree that James held his own. He got crushed, then ran. Oh, no. Listen, if that goes to an argument, I don't feel good for you, Strebel. But it didn't. The guy gave us what we needed. He gave us I'm trying to think of the example, not a drug reference. He gave us the smack that we needed.
Yeah.
All we needed was the sports radio nugget of you're an idiot hanging up. That's all we need. All of that was just for that little time where he hung up on you. That's sports radio. That's all we needed.
See, I didn't. The difference between that, like we'll take an example, like Mark Ennis, like he'll have a Kentucky fan call in and he'll like start to berate Mark or say, "Oh, Cards cheat," and then Mark will have a response, and then the Kentucky fan will usually say like "bleep you" or something and make himself look bad. And then Mark will set him up, and then Mark looks like the good guy because he didn't say "bleep you." In this instance, he didn't give me that opportunity to be the jerk. He ended up being the jerk by calling me an idiot and hanging up on me. He didn't want a debate. He wanted no part of it. He said, "Hey, you idiot! Ha! Hang up." That's exactly what it was. He didn't give me a chance to make a fool of myself. He did it.
437-9680. Bobby V just retweeted what looks like an elementary school field trip. There's a woman with a stripper pole. I don't know what's going on right now. This is Bob's Twitter.
What?
That's all that I got for you. That's it. Before we go to break here, we get Rick Bozich on. Mitch, do you have
a minute? I gotta go look at that.
We gotta take a break.
What's that?
So we gotta take a break. We're at Bozich on 5:30. It's 5:29.
I know Bozich is fine.
He's all right.
Can we just play a few lock sounds? Please. Just a few. Come on. Just a few. Play a couple. Play a couple for Round Eddie, and then we'll get out of here. Quit yelling at us, Mitch.
That guy, I don't know whether it was message sending or whatever, but we liked to joke about, you know, Matt Harms got benched at Purdue, an NIT team. Olivier Saar got benched at Wake Forest, who was, what were they, 5-25 or something? The last few freshman classes have been just okay. And I can't wait for Clark and Boston to be the next version of Khalil Whitney and Quad A Green.
Of course he can't. He can't wait. He's actively ready for it.
You be quiet. Okay. Inject these into our veins. Okay. Come on, Mitch. A couple more. Come on.
Jason Strebel and Jason Strebel and
one more.
Honk, UK fans, I love you. I love you from the bottom of my heart, because you are so desperate to just worship your... I'm giving Calipari a compliment. I am literally giving him a compliment that he changed his typical recruiting philosophy and did the opposite of what he does for every other player, which is the, we don't need you, you need us. And he told Olivier Saar, we need you. We need you desperately. And these UK fans are still mad. Like, that's when you realize... You wake up in the morning determined to be mad at me. And if you live that life, then good. Thank you for listening. I hate listening is fun, but you're just a dope, because I gave Cal credit for what he did for getting Olivier Saar. He evolved. He adapted. He adjusted. And good for him. But if you don't think he begged Olivier Saar, if you don't think – read the quote. Come on. Come on, UK. Just be a smidge better. I'm not asking you to be a lot better. Just be a smidge better. Some reality into your life.
That is Lachlan McClain. Congrats. That's great stuff. I cannot wait to hear the litany of sound that we have on the mixtape. Well, you got to get out of here. Say hello to the family. Get out of here. Rick Bozich, he'll join us next here. It's The Take. It's a Thursday on ESPN 680 105.7. Yeah, before we get to Rick Bozich, love having him on. Let me tell you about the fitness market. Curbside delivery available in Louisville. We've been telling you about that. They've been around now for more than two decades, and they have been helping just about everyone at the office get in better shape, including Diener and those abs. And right now, curbside delivery is also available to our friends up east in Lexington. They're offering curbside delivery on qualifying orders to the Lexington area. Again, treadmills, elliptical, bicycles, rowing machines, spin bikes, much, much more. They have the stuff that can help you during this time of quarantine or just to keep building or start building that home gym. It's the Fitness Market, thefitnessmarket.com. They're working right now out of their Plantside Drive location, 502-882-2694. That's 882-2694. Type in Fitness Market. Find them on Facebook as well. Again, it is the Fitness Market. Find out what they have in stock, like weights. A lot of the weights and dumbbells and those sorts of things, they go pretty quick, but they are fully stocked in many things, and they are ready to help you with top-of-the-line equipment. They also have a nice area for used equipment. So whatever it may be with the financing, we're all stuck in our homes. Make the best of it now. It's the Fitness Market, thefitnessmarket.com, 882-2694.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Ethan, is Ethan there? I want to say hello to him before you start giving Ethan takes, Jack.
And James Strebel.
What's up, viewers?
Viewers?
This kid delivers, man. he delivers every time.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Couple notable things here. It's a Thursday. Some odd news. I guess you want to say some breaking news on a couple different fronts over the last couple minutes. And again, it takes my only quibble that I would have at all with Governor Andy Beshear. I want to get into politics. I'm talking about the press conferences. Is let's just get into them. Let's just go at some point here. Just a couple different things. Beshear has announced today, and again, the press conference is over on 93.9 The Ville. You can also stream that ESPNLouisville.com. Andy Beshear has announced restaurants can begin opening, obviously limited capacity. That's going to be on May the 22nd. He also announces movie theaters, fitness centers, and gyms. That's going to be June 2nd. Daycare facilities, which I know so many people obviously will need as we in some sort of way go back to work, June 15th. Youth sports will be allowed to restart on June 15th as well. And then bars will be able to reopen with no more than 50 people in them in July. I'm not sure there's an exact date to that. So that is some of the news coming down. There is also news, and I got alerted about this, and this is coming up. This happened. Okay, I saw this post to WDRB, so I don't even know if Rick Bozich has seen it. In fact, let's bring Rick Bozich on. Rick, have you seen the Todd Sharp story at all?
Have I seen which story?
The Todd Sharp story. It literally just went up front page of WDRB like a minute ago, 2 minutes ago. Have you seen it?
I can't hear you, Andy.
Can you hear me now? Hello? 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 Rick Bozich with us. Rick, do you hear us? Hello? Let's call Rick back and see if we can get a better connection there. I'm not exactly sure what the problem is. We don't have phone callers, so... We never know. But let's try this. Before we get Rick Bozich on, this just went up. Former UofL dance team coach Todd Sharp is now in the middle of a death investigation. Todd Sharp now is alive, but follow me here. Again, he lives in Floyd Knobs. The Floyd County Sheriff's Department said that Todd Sharp called 911 on Sunday to report that there was a dead man in his Floyd's Knobs home. Investigators found the body of 23-year-old Samuel Phelps of LaGrange. And let's bring Rick Bozich on. Rick, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right, Rick, have you seen, and again, I don't know, I hate to spring this on you, the Todd Sharp story on the front page. It's actually, I saw it first on you guys' website. Have you seen it?
I just read it a few minutes ago. It's just more.
It's odd.
Bizarro world.
I was essentially reading it to your audience, and again, WDRB.com. Deputies have said that Sharp only met this 23-year-old Samuel Phelps Saturday, but allowed him to stay at his home. The next day, he found Phelps dead. They're doing a toxicology report, obviously, right now. And so, I mean, obviously they believe he ingested something that obviously killed him, and this happened in the home of Todd Sharp. And that's all that we have. Again, this was on Sunday, and I guess he let this gentleman stay with him. I it's an odd story. Rick, I would ask you.
Saturday and let him stay in his house that night, and he died. Was dead the next day. Correct.
Yes. Yes. I would ask you, what's your opinion on this? But I don't think that's probably the right thing to do. That's all I know, and I'm sure that's all you know. It's just been, it's been an odd few years for Todd Sharp.
It's very sad, very strange, very sad, very troubling. I mean, considering this is a guy that had his own nationally acclaimed, and people went crazy over his TV show, you know, what, that 3 or 4 years ago? I know people used to text me, oh, you just showed up on that TV show. Because Eric and I frequently sit down there at the corner where the dance team, you know, huddled before they came out on the floor, and he was always down there. So that's who he was a few years ago. He was kind of a big celebrity, really.
Oh, not kind of a big celebrity. I'm with you. I mean, people knew his. I mean, people know knew his name. They still know his name, obviously, for different reasons now. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he was a star. I mean, I know his show. I mean, come on. I mean, whatever you want to believe. I mean, we weren't watching that show. Did you ever watch the show, Rick? I mean, I watched a little bit of it. Even for me, it was too much. It was too much for me, really.
Yeah, it's too much for me. I mean, I didn't want to. They got enough attention as it was. I didn't want to give them any more. Come on.
Why is Rick
My statement always was, if you let them come in the arena, and that people always thought of what the big deal they are, but, I mean, people go to watch the basketball game. If there was just a performance by, what was the name? What are they called? The dance team? I don't even
the
remember
Ladybirds.
The name.
Yeah, the Ladybirds.
Ladybird.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just had a Ladybirds performance in the arena, nobody would show up, so it's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in the minority, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I thought they got too much attention and too much praise and too much publicity.
Really? Mitch, I mean, I feel like Rick Bozich is giving us a hot take right now in the Ladybirds. Rick, what's going on, man? Come on, it's a dance team. I feel like you're giving a hot take right now.
Yes, they're just not. I just thought they got too much attention, too much publicity. I go to watch a basketball game. I don't go to watch the dance team.
There you go. That is old school. I appreciate that, Rick, but it is old school. The dance team, and then who is Matt Harms? Those have been the two, you know, in the last couple weeks here.
Yesterday, I got myself in trouble yesterday because some knucklehead sports columnist in the Chicago Cubs, Chicago Tribune, which is the same thing as the Chicago Cubs, wrote a column saying it was Kerry Wood Day, and I said, this is a guy that won 86 games in his career, was 11 games over 500. I mean, what are we hyperventilating over this guy for? It's not like he's Mark Burley.
There you go. I saw that, and I saw some mentions, and I thought, there we go, Rick Bozich getting into it. There was something else. Oh, you seemingly sided with Kristen Cavallari in the divorce of her and Jay Cutler, and that hurt us because we've been very pro-Jay Cutler on this show, even though, of course, he is a dope on the football field.
You just have to. I mean, I'm a Bears fan, and nobody did more to kill my interest in the Chicago Bears than Jay Cutler. I mean, I go back to Bill Wade and Ronnie Bull and Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus and all those guys when they played in Wrigley Field, and Jay Cutler pretty much ruined my interest in the Chicago Bears. I couldn't stand to watch him play because his body language was so pathetic that it was like, if you're going to be pathetic, then my interest in the team's going to be pathetic. So I've struggled to regain my interest in the Chicago Bears because of Jay Cutler. So go, yeah. Kristen Cavallari.
There we go. Wow. We'll have to play that for Strebel tomorrow, Mitch. No, our thing has been we just like Cutler, like post-career, like the hustle that he had. Didn't he get like 15 mil to play some games, like half a season in Miami, right? And then the smoking Jay Cutler.
Did he commit to being Fox's analyst, and then he, like, you know, left him at the altar, like, a few weeks before the season was going to start? He went to the Dolphins. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he went to the Dolphins, and I think his deal ended up being $1 million a game. Yep. Like, it was 16, 17 mil a year, and they were a terrible team, and he got injured, and he wasn't very good. And, again, they were a terrible team, but I'm pretty sure he got a bag for it, Rick. Like, I think he got $1 million a week. Seriously. I think he got $1 million a week, so he had to come back. He was like the backup half the year. That's a great deal. I mean, I'm sure his body got beat up, but, you know, I don't know. It's NFL. So so there's the news. We have Rick Bozich with us, at Rick Bozich, if you want to follow him, WDRB. Obviously, we need to get your reaction to the notice of allegation. allegations, and you know, we kind of waited till Thursday, but since then, the news of Olivier Sarr. So let's start there. What is your reaction, Olivier Sarr, and then how do we begin to make out sense of whether he will receive the waiver or not from the NCAA?
I'm a big Olivier Sarr fan. I think I voted this year. I voted on the AP All-ACC teams. I think I had him like second team. I was, you know, I thought he got better every year when he first came in with Wake. He was obviously a guy who wasn't physically developed enough to help Wake and was a little bit behind as a development as a basketball player, having grown up in France and stuff. But I thought this year, you know, he was probably the best player, the second best player on that team. He's a good shooter as his free throw percentage there. I think he went to the line 180 some times and made, what, 74, 75%? And if you look at his numbers, he got better as the season went on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it's a big get for Kentucky. I like that kid. And I think, you know, once he works with Kenny Payne, who's got a good track record of developing big men, he'll even get better.
How do we begin talking about the waiver process? Because I see it's very split. There's not a lot of evidence that says Kentucky fans should be uber positive or hopeful. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of confidence. What does Rick Bozich think? Because it seems like a rather compelling case for the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd put it, somebody told me yesterday 70%. I'd put it in the 60 to 70% range because of the fact that there was a coaching change. They seem to be a little bit more understanding of these waivers, and it almost seems like media-wise he's become a little bit of a cause with people. But, you know, I think Evan Daniels at some point tweeted it. I mean, it's like coaching changes have never been
yep.
A trend of a reason that the guy's going to get his
yep.
waiver granted, and I noted yesterday that was at Lance Thomas when he left Louisville mm-hmm. and went to Memphis after Louisville's coaching change. He didn't get one. And did Enoch come here after Kevin Ollie? Was that part of the move when he came here, or was that before Kevin Ollie?
I don't remember. I can't remember, but it was assumed
right.
that he was taking the year off, right? Like
right.
there was really no debate
yeah.
with it. I mean, one that we always
out.
Yeah, one that we always bring up is Tate Martell. Remember Tate Martell? Martell went from Ohio State. He simply lost the job. This is a Vegas kid, right? So it's not like he went closer to home. He went to Miami, and he got the waiver to be able to play. Like I have, like my thing is, I said this earlier, Rick. We've talked about this obviously a lot. Is you know when Jay Scrubb and his father were like, well, you know, we really want to go pro, but there's always Louisville. We should have seen the writing on the wall and just said, okay, Jay Scrubb's not going to be at Louisville. And then when Steve Forbes a couple days ago went on Winston-Salem Radio and said, well, you know, I mean, Kentucky. You remember he had the slight at Kentucky in academics, and then like 10 hours later. 12 hours later, whatever it was, Olivier Sarr commits and goes to Kentucky, that we should have known at that point, obviously, that he knew that he was going to lose out and lose Olivier Sarr. There's just a part of me, if this kid ends up not being eligible, that we look and say, you know, damn, so much of the data pointed towards him not getting the waiver, but so much of the common sense and so much of the circumstances and how much better it would be for the kid. All the common sense says that he should get the waiver, but so much of the data, not all of the data, points to him not getting the waiver. And I don't know. I just feel like national people are, they have a lesser percentage that they think he's going to be eligible than local. I'm very split on this. I don't know what to think, and I don't know how to feel about it. And quite frankly, I do know how to feel about it. This should be something. I want to get to the timing, but do you understand the predicament that we're all in here?
No, what's the predicament we're all in here?
Well, the common sense is going to tell us, Rick, that he should get the waiver, but the evidence is proving that he's not going to get the waiver.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's no precedent. I mean, it jumps all over the place. As you mentioned, Tate Martell he's from Vegas. He went to Ohio State and he got mad when they brought in Justin Fields. That was his reason for transferring, really. And he went to Miami and became immediately eligible. I don't really see what his hardship was. I know when Justin Fields went from Georgia to Ohio State, That was because he felt uncomfortable because I believe some members of the baseball team, which he was going to play for,
right,
made some racist comments,
yep,
about him as a football player, and he wanted to get away from that. So you can come up with 10 or 15. I looked at last year at the preseason sporting news college basketball yearbook in Arkansas, St. John's. There were, you know, five or six other schools that went through coaching changes last year, and they had guys that transfer, and the majority of them were not deemed eligible immediately. Then the flip side is you look at Jamarl Baker and Kwadi Green, both mm-hmm. left Kentucky and went elsewhere, and from what I know and from the people I've talked to, Kentucky went to bat to say, yeah, it's okay, these guys should be eligible immediately, yeah, we don't have a problem with it. So I don't know how much that factors into this. Will Wake have any say at all? And if they do have a say, are they going to say, are they going to be angry that he left and fight this?
We need to send you the sound, or it should be up on ESPN.com. I'm not exactly sure. We had Seth Greenberg on to Bobby V, and Bobby V, when he was interviewing, this was in the 2 o'clock hour, Seth said that they taped a podcast. I don't know if that was the podcast with he and Dokic. I'm not sure. And Steve Forbes made it sound like that they would help there. That, you know, Wake Forest would not be you know, a problem or a hindrance to Olivier Saar. But no, it's a rough predicament that we're all in here, Rick, because common sense says one thing, some of the evidence says the evidence says the other, and there's so much inconsistency everywhere, and this is a big deal for Kentucky. I mean, this is a, you know, this is a big move for Kentucky. This is a Reed Travis joining. This is what they thought maybe the Nate Sestina was going to be. So obviously we will follow that. Are you pro this kid getting a waiver because of how it played out with Danny Manning? Because I know you're not always pro leaving, but I do think the circumstances matter, and I do think the circumstances point to that's why he should get the waiver okayed.
Yeah, I guess I'm more pro than con because Manning did get fired, and from what I read, I think he talked to Jeff Borzello on ESPN.com and basically said that Wake made the decision so late in the process that he had already sort of decided not to put his name in the NBA draft because of his relationship with Danny Manning, and he was going to stay. And then they fire Manning like less than 48 hours before the NBA draft hard deadline,
and he
didn't want to change his mind. So that definitely is an extenuating circumstance. I'm just against the total. I'm not in favor of the one-time transfer deal of total free agency. I think it would be too chaotic for right. college basketball and college football. And they pushed it down that seemed to be where this all was going until like last week when they seemed to do a bit of a U-turn and say, well, mm-hmm. hold on here, we're going to study this for another year.
Yeah, I think that, and then, you know, getting Congress in on the name, image, and likeness. I think the NCAA is pushing things down the road. You can have your opinion about that, but I do think I would agree that is probably what is happening. Rick Bozich with us here on The Take. It's a Thursday. It's ESPN 680 105.7. Let's get your thoughts on U of L and the notice of allegations. I know Louisville fans are tired of it. What stood out to you? Was it the Pitino stuff? One level one potential violation there. What stood out to Rick Bozich when that news finally dropped earlier this week?
Three things, I guess. One is nothing was new. We've known all this stuff now for, 31 months? There's not really any big revelations. Two was that how eager Neely Benepudi was to answer my question about whether they imposed
yes.
any concept of doing any self-imposed
Star six, Rick.
At all.
Star huh? six. Star six.
Oh, my God.
Star six. Unmute yourself.
To answer that question. And then
you're damn right.
The third one is that, that Pitino did fare pretty well in only one level two violation, although I still think that he should get a suspension of some kind because he never served the last one.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's going to be suspended. We'll get to Rick Pitino here in a second. Seeing what you saw earlier this week, reading what we all, you know, went through, combed through, what do you feel about the punishment? What would be the appropriate punishment? What's the leading candidate in your mind? A 1 year, obviously there's going to be a fine and there's going to be some lost scholarships, probation, maybe, you know, whatever there is. But losing an NCAA tournament, what's going through your mind right now as you think about what might happen to U of L?
Yeah, I mean, the things you just mentioned, probably some scholarship losses, probably maybe some time off the road recruiting. But then the only thing that really matters, I mean, those things are kind of minor for the most part, but will they miss a tournament? I think, yeah, they will miss one. I've heard people say they're going to miss two, argue they're going to miss two or more. You know, some people I've read or have advocated even more. I'd say one tournament is what I think would be fair. And I know the Louisville fans, I'm sure, argue that they don't deserve to miss any because they've turned over the entire regime. But knowing the NCAA and the way they act, I just don't think they're going to let them off with nothing because it was, you know, violating rules when they were already on probation. I don't think they think very highly of that.
No, I don't think so. And Rick Bozich with us here from WDRB. I think 1 year, it's tough getting a read of the fan base right now, Rick. I think 1 year is where most people are. I think if it goes past 1 year and it's ever 2 years, and I think Dane O'Neill talked about it, our good friend Pat Forty, right? He's talked about
right.
it, the two-year thing. I think there's a lot of that coming from the national media. I think
right.
that would just be disastrous because with the rebuild on that and with leading into that and everyone being able to transfer and everything else, I think a 2 year is closer to like a 4 or 5 year penalty for U of L. I just think that would be, or at least a 4 year penalty. I think that would just be a completely nuclear option right now for Louisville.
2 years, I agree with you, would be crushing. It destroys your momentum in terms of recruiting. It destroys your momentum in terms of setting a narrative for moving forward. It's already difficult enough, because now they're back to the world that what they've been through before of uncertainty, and this is going to drag on for however long, you know. Yep.
At least
you know,
a year.
Sure. Yeah. And it's like everybody's going to, you know, be thrown out all these different scenarios, and they're going to have to, you know, talk to recruits and talk to people and try and counterbalance the things that other schools are going to be using against them negatively, and that's exhausting after a while. And the sooner they have an answer, the sooner then this can finally, you know, this has been going on now since with the book dropped
3 years.
What, 2015.
Together,
it's been all this stuff for like 5 years. I mean, it's amazing that how much we've been talking about this kind of stuff for 5 years. And it's time for Louisville to be able to turn the page and move on. And, you know, if I agree with you, though, 2 years would be really hard to overcome because I think – you could convince guys to come and say you might sit out 1 year, but to get guys to commit and miss two NCAA tournaments, I think that's pretty a formidable challenge.
Yeah, you can rally the troops through 1 year, not two. I mean, that is a big buy. That is a big buy. Last one
and
for Rick. Go ahead.
Would be deflated. They've already put up with a lot, and they've already sort of regrouped and kind of tried to move forward, and then you get punched with that again. And especially here where you look down the road of, you know, Calipari's got the first best recruiting class, and he's getting this guy from Wake Forest and all this stuff. I mean, that's got to be tough to process.
How much of this Korean baseball league has Rick Bozich watched? It's on ESPN.
I haven't watched any. I miss baseball desperately, but I can't watch that.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering. I haven't either. Replays of games and Korean baseball league, it's just not catching my attention. Sorry, it's a good idea from all the networks, including ESPN, but it's just, I understand why they're doing it. They're grasping like everyone else is, but it's just, you know, it's not moving the needle for me. I think Mitch had the over of 8.5 of the game this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure if he landed that bet or not, so we shall see. Well, Rick, take care in quarantine. We'll keep reading. We'll keep watching. We'll talk with you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Andy.
All right, thank you. Rick Bozich with us here on ESPN 680 1057. Look at our guy Rick. Look, a couple hot takes there at the beginning. That's what I'm talking about.
Those
so.
Were some hot takes. I mean, everyone loves the Lady Birds. I mean,
there were flaming takes, man. Hey, that's what he does. All right, we'll take a break. Do we know what's coming up next in the bonus hour? I'm assuming no producers cut anything for the bonus hour. You've been frantically doing that while I interviewed Rick Bozich. That's what I'm assuming.
You're a really good guesser. We'll still have Seth Greenberg to start us off. What do you want to use from our show? A little Bozich, a little shenanigans?
Boy, that's a rough one. I mean, maybe part of the first hour where we talk SAR. At like 3:13, we went to SAR talk. Maybe
Sar
that.
Talk.
All Sar right. Talk. Yeah, maybe that would be it. Yeah, let's do that. All right, Drew Diener, Jason Nemus coming up on 93.9 The Ville. I would imagine Bashir is still talking. I know there's a lot of news coming down, so I'm sure those guys are going to have a full show. Diener's been updating me that there's a lot of news coming down, so he's all over this. Diener Hannity, he's all over this. So podcast will be up shortly. Bonus hour next on ESPN 680.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.